With us now is Alan Migliorato, and he is a Florida business owner and the co-founder of Adventure Catholic Leadership Training. He is the author of two books, The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter, and the co-author of Failing Forward. Alan, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, Father. How are you?
I think we're in Florida. I mean, right now it's the humidity is about 80% and the temperature is 87. Is that a spring day for you?
That's a winter for us.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, rub it in, why don't you? Anyway, one of the things we want to talk about today is something that this weather can do, something that I think is really kind of risen to the top over the past 3 months, and that's depression. You know, you have the grade school kids, they haven't been able to go to school, and for the first week, oh, wow, this is neat, we can sleep in and all this. Well, after 2 months or 3 months, they miss their friends, and they can't get together with them, and they begin to feel closed in and isolated, and some of them might be dealing with depression or have a tremendous amount of sadness about that. You know, how as parents, one, do you diagnose it, and two, do you help it?
Well, that's a great question, obviously, that you ask great questions. But this is one of those thought-provoking moments where, you know, we have to be aware of this. And there's a difference between sadness and depression. Most teens, in a general statement, most teens are going to be emotional, very emotional from time to time. In fact, being emotional is almost a rite of passage for adolescents. It's an expression that they use. They're emotional one way or the other. They have mood swings. They're more emotional, as a matter of fact, than they are rational. They're more impulsive than logical. They're more creative than sensible. And that means that they're going to have mood swings that go anywhere from sadness and sorrow all the way over to passion and enthusiasm. But sadness is one of those things that you can kind of tell if it's sad or depression based on a few different items. Sadness will come and go, like most feelings. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be, you know, you're down in the dumps and then you're happy. That's not depression necessarily. It can be, but that's not usually the sign of depression. Usually sadness has a trigger event. So like being stuck in home for 3 months. Well, that's a trigger event. You weren't a depressed person before, and so you're probably not dealing with depression right now. You're probably sad, and you can have prolonged periods of sadness, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on, because this is something that nobody's experienced in our lifetime necessarily, is being quarantined. And there are certain signs to look out for with depression, and you have to be able to notice these things with your kids. So if you see a drop in your teen's grades while they're at school, that might be something, you know, to pay attention to if it's not something that they, not just getting a bad grade on a test, but if it's something that you're noticing that's out of the ordinary for them, and not just once, but we're talking about repetitious. If you notice that your teens have their eating or sleeping habits are changing, if their personal care, their hygiene is not kept up, if they really don't care about the way that they look, if they're struggling with feelings of shame or guilt, if they're persistent in experiencing sadness or unhappiness about everything, they just seem withdrawn, they take themselves out of the things that they used to enjoy doing. These are signs, you know, where you want to have a talk with your teens and say, hey, what's going on? You know, I'm kind of noticing these differences. And, you know, you have to have those face-to-face, heart-to-heart, truth-to-truth talks with your kids sometimes and say, what's going on? Talk to me.
Now, of course, that's a difficult thing because depressed people usually don't want to talk.
It is, you know, but there's not even an opportunity to talk if you don't bring it up. You know, and just letting your kids know that you care enough to ask and say, you know, and you may be able to share a time in your life where you felt depressed. You know, I know that when I hurt my back, for instance, you know, I walk like Fred Sanford from Sanford and Son sometimes because my back hurts so bad. But, you know, I shared that with my daughter when she was going through some depression in high school, and she still deals with some of that sometimes. But, you know, with the basketball, we talked about that before, but I shared that with her. I said, you know, I understand, I think, how you're feeling, but I want to make sure. I said, do you feel like withdrawn, like you just don't want to, you know, want to get up sometimes? And, you know, and it's one of those things where you don't want to share those things with our kids sometimes, because we want them to see us as perfect, and we have, you know, the parental pride, but we have to break that down. And if we've experienced that sadness in our life, it might be something that our kids think they're going through alone, And if we can share some of our lives with our kids and say, look, I went through something like that myself when I was your age, or I'm going through something like that now, or I understand how you feel, because everybody feels sad when they're, you know, we're stuck at home for 3 months. But if it's more than that, I want to know, I want to try to help you.
Well, and I think, Alan, you're so right when you're saying it has to be verbalized, because if some people, if parents are with their kids, and if the kids are being by themselves and not causing trouble, the parents are thinking, hey, great, you know, everything must be fine. And they don't sometimes see the indicators. And one of the tragedies of this age is teenage suicide. And a lot of it was the parents weren't picking up the signs. Now, that doesn't mean every child who's going through depression is suicidal, not at all. But as you said, by paying attention and having the courage to address it, you're definitely working on it.
But I completely agree with you that the kids, you know, if you're dealing with depression or sadness, or, you know, or sadness that's lasting a prolonged time that might be, you know, that might be depression, a lot of kids don't want to talk about that, you know. And I deal with a lot of teenagers through the youth groups that I work with, and I see, you know, you can kind of pick up, and sometimes it's the first time I've seen them, and you can kind of get that energy from them that something's just off, you know. And just having those, look, I care about you. If there's ever anything that I can talk to you about or I can help you with, I may not have the answer, but I'm here. And just that open door sometimes saves these kids' lives for them to know, look, if you don't want to talk to me, I understand, because I'm your parent, but let's get you to talk to somebody and get them some professional help if they need it. There's nothing wrong with bringing a kid to, you know, to talk to a priest. I mean, those are the best resources we have, because you can't take God out of the mix. You can't try to fix this problem without God. You've got to bring them to God, and you've got to let God direct you with what you're trying to do with your teenagers. But too many times I see parents say, well, you know, he's depressed because he doesn't really want to go to church. And it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, get in the car. You know? Get in the car. We're going to church, and we're going to talk about why you don't want to go, but we're still going. You know, it's one of those things. It's not always about church, but you got to keep God in the fix.
Well, and I think that's so important, Alan, because what happens is sometimes parents, they go to a counselor, and oftentimes the counselors are eager to start medications and antidepressants, and oftentimes they think, well, I'll just take a pill and that works. It doesn't work. Nothing, no pill in the world will work with any type of psychological issues unless they're talked through. You got to do the talking part, and that the children, the adolescents need someplace that's safe and trustworthy to do that. But you know, sometimes doctors will recommend medications, but I'll tell you, for teenagers, unless it's really, really extreme, as someone who's been on depression medication myself for 20 years, I would say, you know, you better think long and hard before starting that kind of stuff.
Because you can't stop. I mean, you can't stop that stuff right away.
That's right.
I agree with you. You know, and it's one of those things where we put Band-Aids on our kids and we don't really address, you know, the problem. It's like putting a bandage on a broken arm. Well, all right, so you stuck the bone back in and now you can't see it bleeding, but it's still broken underneath. So we've got to address these problems. We've got to get our kids not just to church. We've got to get them to Jesus. And whatever that takes, get them talking to the priests. Get them talking to good friends, you know, good friends who are going to help them get them directed in the right paths. That's so important. And it's not like a one push button, push this one button and we fix all the problems. But Jesus is that button that does fix all the problems. So we've got to figure out ways to get them to Jesus.
Well, Alan, thanks so much for sharing with us your thought today on teenage sadness and depression. And again, if people want to find out more about Adventure Catholic Leadership, where can they go?
AdventureCatholic.com. All of our interviews are there. A lot of the really, you know, good meaty parts of our interviews, you can rewind it and play it over and over and hear me and you laughing and talking. And it's all at AdventureCatholic.com.
Thanks a lot, Alan. I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay cool.
Thanks, you too. God bless.